Well, good morning, everybody. That was so good. I want to start off with something. If you've been new to Revive recently, or you're new to faith, and we sing songs like that, and you're like, I don't get it. Or if when we share messages or anything, there's questions in your mind, you really haven't figured out who Jesus is and the difference he could make in your life. Or maybe you've made a commitment to him and to follow him with who you are in your life, and you say, now what? Well, we have an opportunity coming up, starting next Sunday, actually, called Begin. Now, this is the second time we've done it. We're going to run it every few months, and it's a class on Sunday mornings. I believe it'll be at this hour, and then you could come to church at the 10:30 service. But it's an opportunity for you to learn the basics of the faith, to dive in and to figure out, what in the world are they talking about? Why do they do communion? What's this baptism thing they speak of? What does it mean to have a relationship with Jesus? I have no idea. Begin will answer those and other questions for you. Information's on the screens. If you want to sign up, you can do that right now on your phone or at your leisure after service. But I do encourage you, if you wonder what we're talking about sometimes, this is a great place to learn. And the two people who are teaching it, Greg and Shannon Niver, if you're new, you obviously don't know who they are. But they're just wonderful people who love well. So please consider joining Begin and learning some of the basics of faith. Now, as we jump in a little bit deeper today, I want to warn you. Today's message is really hard. If you want to go, go. I understand. No, don't go. But we're going to talk about a word today that most people cringe when they hear it, and I'm going to call it the S word. We're going to talk about the S word this morning. Like I said, it makes some people cringe. It makes others run in the other direction. Some have weaponized this word and used it to control people. Others have sort of grabbed a hold of it, and when they hear it, they cower. This word can be viewed as giving in or defeat. It can be it's used to subjugate individuals or entire people groups. It's been used in harsh ways throughout history. And Peter talks about it in his letter today, so we can't ignore it, we can't skip over it, we can't pretend it isn't here, but the word, here it is, it's submit. Now you thought there might be a different S word, didn't you? The word is submit. To yield oneself to the authority or will of another, to surrender or to permit oneself to be subjugated to something else. Synonyms for submit are blink, bow, budge, capitulate, concede, give in, knuckle under, quit, relent, succumb, surrender, or yield. Some of you want to get up and leave right now because this word has been used to hurt you throughout different periods of your life. People have used this word in destructive and dangerous ways. Powerful people have used the word submit to make others feel worthless. Some men demand that their wives or girlfriends submit to them in their every whim or idea. Some women have may even heard, listen to this, listen closely, may have heard scripture taken greatly out of context. And they've heard a verse quoted that says in Ephesians, wives submit to their husbands in everything. Some men use that to control their wives. And like I said, make sure you hear what I said. That is an improper use of that verse. That is not what it is saying. Some bosses have used submission in their employees, in their places of employment. And the common mantra is, well, if you don't like it, just go find another job. Have you ever heard that before? Or maybe when you think of submit, you think of dictators, either modern or historical dictators, who have used that word, and they subjugate the people under them to submit. And if they don't, there's imprisonment or possibly death. Like I said, submit has been used in many dangerous ways throughout history, and the idea of the word can make your skin crawl. I just want to identify that. We've had people in different services in the past where we've talked about submission. They actually got up and walked out of the room. Because it has been used to hurt them so deeply. And as Peter is writing this letter, he knows a thing or two about submission. Peter lived and did life under the oppressive power of the Roman Empire, where everybody had to submit ultimately to the emperor, and if they didn't, the fear of death was running rampant. Peter knew what it was to submit. So why, Peter, do you include submission in this letter? What is your point? What are you doing? How are we supposed to understand it? Because ultimately, here it is. You're not going to like this. Submission is a spiritual concept. It just is. And if you've been around church at all, you understand. And we even sang about it in the middle song. We are to submit our lives to the rule, the reign, and the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's part of who we are. So to submit in a spiritual sense is much, much, much different than the world has used this word repeatedly. So we're going to pick up reading in 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 13 or 14. If you have your Bible, you can turn to 1 Peter. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be on the screen, or you can use the Bible app if you choose to bring it up on your phone. I won't think you're texting anybody else. 1 Peter 2, 13 through 14. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. And hold on, this is going to be really hard for some of you. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor or the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. This verse, we've barely started, and some of you are saying, I'm never, ever going to do that. The truth is, and the way we'll see as we move through the scripture, submit to authority because submission honors God. Submit to the authorities of the land because submission honors God. Christians are responsible to submit to the law, to the rulers, to those elected officials that have been placed over us. We're to submit and follow and be a part of the society in a helpful way to every human authority. And when I even read that, I'm saying, are you kidding me? There are some incredibly corrupt human authorities, but let's finish it out. Before you judge what Peter's writing too harshly, let's continue through and figure out this thought. Because I think as we get through it more, you'll understand the heart of what he's saying. We're to submit not to avoid punishment, but it's for the Lord's sake. All right, let's unpack that a little more. But before I do, I think I need to also point out that you do not, some of you, I'm telling you, this is a hot topic. When the authorities and the laws and the rules of the land are contrary to Scripture, that's where we have a problem. That's where this gets really hard. In fact, there was a time in Acts, and Acts is one of my favorite books of the Bible. In fact, I identify it as my favorite because it was when the early church was going out and doing the things that Jesus taught them to do. And Peter and John were out teaching and doing exactly what Jesus taught them to do, and they're carrying the gospel message to the ends of the earth, starting in Jerusalem, and they are arrested for teaching because the Jewish leaders despised the gospel message. But as Peter and John are being, they're under trial with the Jewish authorities, the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin's grilling them about, they telling them they shouldn't teach in the name of Jesus. What are you doing? What are you thinking? And they had the power to severely beat Peter and John and to flog them and to do many things. And they're saying, don't teach. Don't at all mention the name of Jesus. And then Peter and John replied in the middle of this situation, which is right in God's eye, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. When the law of the land is in direct opposition to the scriptures, to the Bible, to the Word of God, you follow the scriptures. Some of you are saying, this is so confusing. Let me continue. It is thought in this portion of the letter, as Peter is talking and reaching out to the disciples, telling them to submit, that it hasn't yet turned into a physical persecution where people are being killed for their faith. The assumption that scholars put together around these verses is that the believers in Jesus are being slandered, that their name is being dragged through the mud, that they're beginning to feel the effects of persecution because the Romans, they just didn't like this Christian movement at this point in Roman history. It was a little messy. And the Christians were feeling the pressure and the weight of Rome. You think you're feeling pressure and weight because of your faith? And the Christians in the early church under the rule of the Romans were definitely feeling persecuted and pressure and like the walls were closing in. And Peter writes to them in the middle of their pain and suffering and persecution and says, No. You submit to the authorities. Yeah, but do you know what they're saying? I can see it. Do you know what they're saying about us, Peter? He says, Nope, it doesn't matter. And in fact, when Christians started being killed for their faith, those words still ring true. You're saying, so a believer's best defense against slanderous talk, against criticism, was good behavior, good character, and trust. If somebody slanders you and speaks ill of you, the best way to counter that is to live a clean life. Peter continues, "For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence," listen to this, this is so important, "by doing good, by following the laws of the land, by living how I'm telling you, you should silence the arrogant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves." Well, "show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honor the emperor." Peter, what are you writing? Do you understand the pressure of life? And you're saying my submission will silence the arrogant talk of those boneheads all around me? That's what he's saying. If submitting to human authority leads to silencing the arrogant talk of foolish people, sign me up. Bring it on. This letter was being written as Christians were being slandered and falsely accused of evil. And Peter said, it is God's will through excellent behavior that you silence your accusers. Simply put, don't give anybody a reason to question your character. Ever. Don't give anybody a reason to question your integrity, your heart, who you are. And by living under the laws and the land in which you are placed, you are actually honoring God because you are standing up on the laws of the land and saying, nobody can say anything against me because I am following the will of God as this is. I'd love if the harshest criticism anybody could ever say about me is, boy, that Pastor Paul, he's a really law-abiding guy. He must be up to something. Who cares? Or maybe the thought would be, oh, that stinking pastor, always doing the right thing. I don't trust him. When you live where you are, following the laws of the land in which you live, nobody has reason to accuse you of anything And as followers of Jesus, that should be our mark. As we submit. That's hard. Now, I said this too. If the law of the land tells me that I need to go murder or slander somebody or do, I don't know. The answer is no. Because that would be going contrary to Scripture. But if the law of the land tells me I need to pay my taxes, if the law of the land tells me I shouldn't speed, I still have a hard time with that one. I should follow along. Then Peter gets really mucky. That's the easy part. He talks about slaves and masters, followed by husbands and wives. Starting in verse 18, slaves, that's problematic in and of itself. We could spend 3 weeks on that. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters. Not only for those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if somebody bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Like I said, we could spend a whole 3 weeks just on that passage alone. Peter is bringing to mind the reality that Jesus suffered unjustly for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Peter is hearkening back to the recent memory of when Jesus died on the cross and what that meant for all of humanity. And Peter's drawing the parallel and saying, if Christ suffered unjustly for all people for all time and he was honored because of it, if you suffer at the hand of an unjust person, you too will bring honor to God. In our world today, we think that's utter foolishness. But as we look at our world through the lens of Peter and through this letter, we begin to understand that this life and this world is not about you. It's not about me. As we follow Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we bring honor to God in everything we do. And when you suffer under the hand of an unjust person, your heavenly Father is glorified. And that is so hard to understand. I have to throw this in here. Again, submission is such an ugly word that's been used to hurt so many people. If you are in a place where you're being abused, verbally, physically, emotionally, the rules are a little bit different for you. If you are being abused, come talk to one of us. I'd love to give you some advice and help on that journey because if you're being physically, emotionally, spiritually abused, there is help for you in the middle of that. But if you think your abuse is the harsh words of somebody, then submission honors God. Servants and slaves made up a high percentage of the early church, and undeserved punishment and suffering was common. To be sure, there were some good and considerate masters, but there were some who were just awful. The motive for submission and service is not respect for their masters, but respect for God who receives their service as honoring. Submission is not contingent upon their master's actions, but extends to the unjust, for God is served and honored when we serve the unjust. As we live this way, we follow in Jesus' example. And then Peter goes on, and it gets even more challenging. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, what he's saying is, if any of them do not believe who Jesus is, they may be won over without words, but by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence in your lives. In a society where women were expected to follow the religion of their husband, Peter is saying, if that is your situation and your husband is not a Christian, if you are, ladies, then keep living your faith. He's not saying get rid of your faith because of your husband. He's saying, no, live in that place. This is not a verse to subjugate people. It's a verse to say, submit in the fact that you're still going to live out your Christian life and live it out in front of your husband, so that maybe, just maybe, he will see and understand Jesus because of your commitment to your Savior. Submission honors God. And in this case, what Paul is writing, submission honors God to the point where if you are living a life honoring to God and somebody sees it, maybe they will turn their hearts to him. I have dear friends in this church who the woman for years was living out her faith in front of her unbelieving husband, and he was a jerk. I hope they don't watch this. But she kept praying and seeking the Lord and seeking his face, and eventually her husband came around, and now he is a mighty man of God. She could have written him off and said, I'm out. I'm not going to do this. But she stayed and kept living her faith life. Submission honors God, and now her husband does too. Submission's a tough subject. In just a couple weeks at our South Creek campus, this is just for you ladies, guys, I'm sorry, we're going to host something called the IF Gathering, where it's a gathering of women. It's a video conference. I think it's down in Texas where it'll be live, but we're going to be a video venue of that at South Creek, where it's a chance to learn and grow. It's for women only, but guys, if maybe you could sneak in, I don't know, but anyway, it's up to you. But the IF Gathering is a national movement of women who are learning about Jesus and learning how to follow him with their whole lives. Maybe if you're here, if you're new, and you're wondering, how do I love my husband well in the middle of whatever's going on? Maybe the IF Gathering is an opportunity for you to learn more about what it means to follow God with all of your heart. Because submission honors God. As followers of Jesus submit, we are following in the footsteps of Jesus, because then Peter wrote these words, and as I read these and we talk about them for a minute, this is the culmination of this whole message. As Peter's writing this, he's speaking about Jesus when he said, Jesus committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself who judges justly. He himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we may die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For all of us were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. If anybody in the history of the world was unjustly accused and tried and then executed, it was Jesus. And through all of that, as unjust as it was, he submitted to the authorities, the earthly authorities who were doing this, who were about to crucify him, and then did. And as we look at that, he did not retaliate. He made no threats. Humanly speaking, this is just bonkers that he even lived in that place. And the trial and the execution was so extreme. He suffered in silence, committing himself to God. This is the crux of our faith. This is why Peter included this whole section in submission in this letter. Because as we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, as we read about and learn about his life and talk about it with others in our community groups, as we engage in Christian community, we are reminded that as followers of Jesus, we are to live like Jesus in this world, and that means sometimes submitting to the authorities of this world, even though we might not want to. Do you remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before and he was praying, and his disciples, he brought them along with him, and they were over here, and Jesus went further away, and Jesus, it says he was praying, and as he was praying, it was like drops of blood were coming, like his sweat was like drops of blood. He was in such anguish. And he said, God, if this cup of suffering can be taken away from me, please do. But then he said, not your will, not my will, but your will be done. He went back to his disciples who were over here sleeping. He's like, come on, you knuckleheads, why are you sleeping? In his hour of need, when Jesus was feeling the weight of the sin of the world on his shoulders, and he knew he was going to be crucified, he submitted to what was coming. I think I can submit in my life if he did that. I'm just saying. I think I can do it. I know it's hard. I know sometimes it doesn't make sense, and sometimes we hear that word like I began, and it causes us to get the sweats. But when I fully understand what Jesus did for me, I'm willing to submit and to follow him with all of my heart. The fact that he submitted to unjust rulers makes me want to follow him that much more. The fact that he didn't call legions of angels down from heaven and wipe out Rome makes me want to follow him even more. Because in that place, he had you and me on his mind and his heart. And he knew that as he laid his life down, as he's crying out in the Garden of Gethsemane for this suffering to leave him, he had us in mind. And he said, not my will be done, Father, but yours. That act of submission makes me want to follow him more than you can ever imagine. I hope it does the same for you. So when the challenges come in your life, are you willing to follow the example of Jesus and to say, I'm going to submit my will, not my will be done, God, but yours. Not my desires for safety and an easy life and for everything to line up, because let me give you a newsflash, that's not the Christian life where everything's easy. Not my will, Father, but yours. I submit. As you submit to unjust people, you are silencing the talk of fools, and you are providing opportunities for people to see and experience the love of Jesus. I hope that captures your heart and your imagination. I hope that spurs you on to want to do things and to be in places and to love people in new ways that you never dreamt possible. As this passage came up and we knew this was coming up and we were talking about it, it was one of those that you look at ahead of time and you say, okay, God, here we go. You need to work in the middle of this one because this is hard. It's countercultural. It doesn't make sense to those of us living in America in 2024 where we want our way. It's like the McDonald's thing. We want our way right away. Is that the phrase? I messed it up. I don't like McDonald's much. But that's not the way of Jesus. The way of Jesus is to submit. John Wesley, who, if you're around our church at all, you may have heard the name. He's the one who back in the 1800s, 1850s, 60s was, 17. That's 100 years. He lived in England. He was part of the Anglican Church. He realized that the Anglicans weren't going in a way he wanted, he thought was right in his mind. He had many experiences. He's the father of the Methodist movement, and actually the Wesleyan Church is a branch of Methodism. I don't want to get into the whole history right now, but over the issue of slavery years ago, back when slavery was a thing in our country, the Wesleyan Methodist Church split off from the Methodist Church because we thought slavery was wrong. That's part of our heritage. But John Wesley, he was an incredible man of God, and he wrote and often recited this prayer of submission because he understood the importance of submitting our wills to God's, of putting God first and laying aside our wants and desires. He saw it as a value, a high value. Now, the prayer itself is very long, and I probably should have used the whole thing, but I have a part of it. So what I'm going to ask is for all of us to stand. Everybody stand. And if you're comfortable, the words will be on the screen. If you're comfortable reciting this along with me as a way to commit to following and submitting our lives to. If you're not, I don't want to ask you to do something you're not comfortable doing. But if something has been resonating in your heart this morning and you want to pray this as we pray it all together, please do. The prayer goes, say it with me. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be. Let that be our prayer. Amen.